Amen. Our text tonight is found in verses 42 and 43 of the passage we read together. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When the Lord Jesus died that day at Calvary, he did not die alone. There were two others died with him, two thieves or two malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the Bible says, as they hung on the cross there, the Bible tells us that the people gathered round. It says there in verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, to write at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ of God. And they gathered round, and they mocked the Lord, even in death. And then it says there, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him in vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, we read that both thieves cast the same into his teeth. Both mocked him, and derided him. But in this passage, one of them has a change of heart, and he turns to the Lord, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that dear man closed his eyes in death that day. He went to be with the Lord. He went to heaven to be with Christ. And many men and women have heard of this and read this and said, that's what I'll do. I'll live my life for the pleasures of the world, for the pleasures of sin. And then on my deathbed, I'll get saved. I'll get right with God. And then I'll go to heaven and I'll have the best of both worlds. Maybe there's someone here tonight and that's what you hope to do. You hope to be saved someday before you die. And maybe you're hoping for a deathbed conversion where you can be saved, go to heaven, but no reproach, no witnessing, no living for the Lord. Oh, my friend tonight, if that's what you're thinking and that's what you're hoping, I hope before the end of this meeting, you will see how foolish this is and you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, for a few moments, we want to look at the dying thief. And there's four things about him we want you to notice. First of all, we have his condition. And what was the condition like? First of all, he was helpless. He was nailed to the cross. He couldn't do anything to save himself, either physically or spiritually. He couldn't come down from the cross. He couldn't get away. And for spiritual things, well, he couldn't join a church. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't go to the communion table. He could do nothing. He was helpless in every way. And then also he was condemned. He had had a trial of some sort, and he had been found guilty of his crimes, and he was condemned to die that awful death of crucifixion. And then he was dying. Every breath he took him nearer death, took him nearer eternity, and took him nearer hell. That was his awful condition. And beloved tonight, you're in a similar condition. First of all, you are helpless. As far as salvation is concerned, you're helpless. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe you're trying to do your best to get to heaven, reading your Bible and saying your prayers, doing good works. Oh, friend, they're to no avail. Salvation is all of God. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. And then next, you're condemned. You know, some people feel, well, you can't say you're saved in this life. That's presumptuous. And you have to wait and the judgment and see if your good works outweigh your bad works. And that's how you get into heaven, by good works. But the Bible says you're condemned already. Whosoever believeth not in him is condemned already. You're already condemned in God's sight. The law of God condemns you. So you are. And you're just waiting sentence. So you are. And then you're just not dying. You're dead in trespasses and in sin. You don't have a clue about spiritual things. The Bible says the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a very religious man, so he was. And he came to Jesus one night to talk about his parables, to talk about his miracles. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. And the man hadn't a clue what the Lord was talking about. He was in spiritual darkness, so he was. And that's like you tonight. If you're not saved, that book's a dead book to you. You can understand people going to prayer meetings and going to meetings and singing hymns. You're in spiritual darkness, friend. And that's your state tonight. You're helpless. You're condemned in God's eyes. And you're dead in trespasses and in sin. And then we hear his confession. This man made a great confession before he died. So he did. Read there in verses 40 to 42. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And first of all, he confessed that he feared God. He said, dost thou not fear God? And here was a man who feared God. You know, a lot of people today tell you they believe in God, but they don't fear God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you would do well tonight to fear God. If you're not saved, you would do well to fear him, to fear living without him, to fear dying without him, to fear going into the eternity without him. Beloved, tonight you would do well to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then he confessed his sinfulness. He says, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And here's a man acknowledged that he was sinful, that he was a sinner. He took the sinner's place. And you know tonight, friend, if you're ever going to be in heaven, you have to acknowledge before God that you are a sinner and that you are lost in sin. We think of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in the going up to the temple to pray. And the old Pharisee prayed with himself, Lord, I thank you, I'm not as other men are. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I have. But the publican just cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. He went down to his house saved. And if you're ever going to be saved and be in heaven, you must recognize that you are a sinner and that you must confess before God that you are a sinner. And then he confessed Christ's sinlessness. He says, are we indeed justly? For we receive the due rewards of our deed. But this man had done nothing amiss. And the Spirit of God had opened this man's eyes. And he had watched Christ. And he had listened to him. And he watched Christ carrying his cross up through the Jerusalem, up Golgotha's hill. And there wasn't a word out of him. The Bible says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And the sheep before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. And then when they nailed him to the cross, he spoke. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And the Spirit of God opened this man's eyes, and he realized this was the sinless, spotless Son of God. And so he was, friend, and so he is. The Lord Jesus Christ never said a wrong word, never thought a wrong deed, never thought a wrong thought, never did a wrong deed. He never had to apologize to anyone for anything. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Judas Iscariot said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The apostle said, he knew no sin. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. And the God his Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was the sinless, spotless Son of God. And then he confessed Christ as Lord. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He confessed Christ as Lord till his companion there, till the one who was deriding the Lord and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself and us. And he took Christ as Lord to his companion. He confessed Christ as Lord in front of the soldiers around the cross. He confessed Christ as Lord to the scribes and Pharisees who were mocking him. He confessed Christ as Lord to the people who were deriding him and mocking him, laughing. And when everyone else had fled, the Bible says the disciples all forsook him and fled. When everyone else had fled, he still confessed Christ as Lord. And then he believed Christ had a kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't look like a king. The only crown he had was a crown of thorns. The only robe he had was a robe of blood. And the only throne he had was a cross. But he was indeed King of kings and Lord of lords. You're hoping tonight to get into heaven in a deathbed conversion and not have to witness for Christ. I tell you, friend, this man put it all to shame. In the short time he was saved, he witnessed for Christ. He told everybody that Christ was the Lord and he had a kingdom. And I believe if this man could have got down from the cross, he'd have went and done a good work for the Lord. And then we see his comfort here in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He had the comfort in knowing that Christ had heard him. But Melville, you're saying, well, of course he heard him. He is only three feet away, only a few yards away. But beloved, tonight, if you call on the Lord, he will hear you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We think again of the dying thief, or we think again of the publican in the temple. He just cried, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went down to his house justified. You call upon the Lord and he will save you. He will transform you. And he had the comfort in knowing he'd be in paradise. He'd be in heaven. Oh yes, friend. Now everything had changed. Instead of being lost, instead of going to hell, he was now going to heaven. It was well with his soul. And that was wonderful. But also he had the comfort in knowing he would be with Christ. Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he would close his eyes in death. And he would be at home with the Lord. And oh, beloved, tonight, heaven wouldn't be heaven if Jesus wasn't there. But he is there. We think of the Apostle Paul. He said, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ is far better. He talked about being absent from the body, being at home with the Lord. The hymn writer said, face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when in glory I see him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. And then he had the comfort in knowing it'd be that very day. As soon as he closed his eyes in death, he would be with Christ. Beloved, tonight, I don't know when I will die. I don't know when the Lord will come. But I'm glad tonight to know I'm ready. I'm glad tonight to know I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. Oh, friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you come to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. Don't leave anything to chance. Just be sure you're saved. Be sure you're born again of God's Spirit. And then last of all, we look at his companion. You see, that's what people forget. There were two thieves that day. So there was. Both in the same condition. Both had been caught and their crimes were found guilty of. And they were both paying the price of their crimes. They're in the same circumstances. They were dying by crucifixion. The awfulest death that anyone can die. But one died unrepentant, unsaved. The last words we have him in here, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And he closed his eyes in death and went out to the lost eternity. But then we have the other one, and he turned and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, said these words, one thief was saved, that no sinner might despair, but only one, that no sinner might presume. And you know, friend, if you're waiting and hoping for a deathbed conversion to get saved just before you die, you're presuming an awful lot. You're presuming you will have a deathbed, that you won't have a heart attack, you won't have an accident or cut off in your prime. And then you're presuming on that deathbed, you will have all your faculties. You won't be in a coma. You won't be unconscious. You won't be delirious or anything like that. And then, of course, you're presuming that God will save you. He didn't save this man, so he didn't. Beloved, salvation is in God's time and God's place. And if God's speaking to you tonight and striving with you, you need saved tonight. You need to be born again tonight. You can't put it off. You can't go out through that door without coming to Christ. Today is a day of salvation. So it is. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, come tonight and be saved and be born again. There's a little verse and it says this: we must all die, but God forbid that we should die as those two did. Somewhere, somewhere, sometime, God knows, our hearts shall feel, our eyes shall close, and we, though now the thought we smother, shall be with one thief or another. That may ask you tonight, what thief will you be with in eternity? Will you be with the one who turned to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, and closed his eyes in death and went to be with Christ? I hope so. I hope so. Or will you be with the other one who died unrepentant, unsaved, and went out to the lost sinner's hell? I hope not, friend. You come tonight. Be saved. Go home rejoicing. And then whatever happens, you'll go to be with the Lord. And that's far better. Make sure you're saved. I wouldn't like to be putting my head in a pillow tonight, not knowing I'm saved. The Lord saved me over 40 years ago. And I'm really glad. I was glad the first night I was saved. And I'm still glad. You come to Christ. If you want to talk to us, if you're burdened about your soul, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. Don't leave this meeting without Jesus, without getting saved. Amen. We'll have a closing.